Hi. I got a tape I want to play.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
Your move, creep.
Take me to the volcano!
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Come with me if you want to live.
This town needs an enema.
Dr. Kidd, I need a bacchiotomy.
Yes, that's a human ear, all right.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So it's come to this.
It keeps coming to this.
We knew it was going to get here eventually.
It keeps getting there eventually, like every week.
Yeah.
Hyams has taken over. I can't stop watching Peter Hyams movies or thinking about Peter Hyams.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little concerned, honestly. I'm Charlie.
I'm Eric.
This is a movie podcast.
This is a Peter Hyams
podcast. We are going to run out of Peter Hyams movies to do pretty
soon. We're burning through them. We're burning through really? With no sign of slowing
down. We're knocking
them down.
Them down.
We have never kept our word to this degree before.
I don't remember keeping my word to anything. You keep telling me to watch more Peter Hyams movies, and I oblige.
I intend to watch, I keep meaning to watch other movies. I go to theaters for movies, and then the more I go to theaters for movies, the more I'm just like, I could have been at home watching a Hyams.
I could have had a Hyams.
I can pick any Peter movie at random.
Yeah.
We are showing this is like our guy. He was hiding in plain sight, making some of the most successful, deeply advanced, cool movies, smash hit success movies. End of Days was a big hit,
with
right?
A-list actors.
Big stars, big movies, memorable movies. And I don't know if it gets much more memorable to a certain like window of youth.
Oh yeah.
Then Stay Tuned.
A very specific time frame.
Stay
this
Tuned.
This movie exists in.
I think Stay Tuned is like scalded into people's brains that were like in a 6-year window of the 90s. That this movie was a video store staple. This was an eye catcher.
Totally.
This is some video store classic box art.
That's some Drew Struzan art right there, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no
kidding.
If
not, it's in that style.
It's done, yeah.
It's
beautiful. It's gorgeous poster. The Stay Tuned poster is like, I remember, I always knew where that movie was in a video store. Mm-hmm. It just leaped out at you, right? It's so good. So deep video store memories for a bunch of people. And it was always in like the family section.
Yeah, I think this is considered a family movie, even though it's all about the devil.
We got so lucky in that same video store regard that like there was this era of PG family entertainment that like really started sneaking in like vulgarity and stuff. You know, it's the parents caught it with certain things like The Simpsons and
right.
Like Married with Children wasn't going to be allowed in our household.
Exactly.
That kind of level, right? But then every family film is like, suddenly this is just a normal family comedy and it's straight up about the devil. It's about a divorced couple,
some dark stuff going
and
on.
The devil.
Yeah. It's
like if The Burbs was not The Burbs. It's like John Ritter's Burbs movie, right?
Well, I was going to say John Ritter is kind of the king of that, right? Like the way too intense family friendly comedy.
I had nightmares about Problem Child.
That movie is
nightmares.
Insane.
Of all the horror movies I ever watched at like slumber parties, I remember, man, I think we brought him up before, Andrew Elloway. He had this big house in Novato. He was the one showing us like Friday the 13th movies at slumber parties, or
right.
Like Monster Squad.
Right.
But we watched Problem Child. And that scene with everybody like throwing up. Hey, what? Why? It's like I can't watch Stand By Me because I want to watch that pie scene.
You know that's coming.
And Problem Child is the movie of all the movies I'm watching at a slumber party. I'm having Problem Child nightmares.
There you go.
John, that movie was so
that's his wheelhouse.
Intense. So, like,
it's just like, it's this movie too, it's like, watching it last night, like, man, this movie is loud.
Man.
There's just
they made
noise.
Shit loud for parents back
then. And it's
then.
Not just Ritter screaming. He screams throughout this whole movie, of course, but it is just something going on all the time. Every TV show they get into is like got some loud thing happening in it.
It's
chaos. Relentless. This movie is 90 minutes of just like pound you in the fucking face. with like noise and intensity and violence and devil stuff.
It's all devil stuff,
and
right?
It's a fun comedy.
It's great, man. The kids. I love Stay Tuned, man. Stay Tuned is like a movie like no other. Even though I'm constantly mentally getting it mixed up with a movie that came out the exact same year called Mom and Dad Save the World.
Yep. That's the one
I was thinking of scenes from Mom and Dad Save the World when I was watching Stay Tuned. I have probably not watched Stay Tuned since I was like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It's probably been some time, right? But this was video store staple, birthday party staple. Mm-hmm. It was just a PG kids movie. And let's face it, we miss John Ritter. And America loved John Ritter. America loved John Ritter for a straight like 20 years.
Yeah.
Until he was taken from us.
Yeah.
We have missed out on so much cool John Ritter projects.
Probably more than 20 years at this point.
Yeah. Early 2000s, yeah. Right?
He was like in his 50s.
So young. And he is such like the John Ritter era of film when America loved Ritter. We loved how you could almost see his balls on Three's Company. We loved it. We loved those reruns. We loved watching Three's Company. We loved that season where the opening is at the LA Zoo and Mr. Furley's like making faces next to the animals and Janet and Chrissy look great.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Ritter carrying the whole thing.
His little mop of hair.
Oh, love Ritter's hair. Love Ritter's hair. Love Ritter in this movie. Peter Hyams works with so many cool and different actors. This man is making multiple Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Guy's made a big Schwarzenegger movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's working with like real stars, action stars, but also like comedy icons. And Ritter is a comedy icon. Not just for Three's Company. This guy is a legend. He's also like a pratfall genius.
Oh yeah,
he's his own thing. He's his own brand, right?
Yeah, that's his. His brand is just beat him up, stress him out, flatten him. Just flatten him as best you can.
Yeah, think of the AMC original like 3-season show John Ritter would have gotten, like a drama. We missed out on drama, John Ritter. But we would also get, like, Bad Santa 3, probably.
Oh, probably.
And that would be just as good.
Man, I feel like he would have been, like, Saul from Breaking Bad, like, if he had been around.
Yeah, no, he'd be getting AMC and HBO level work.
Like...
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk swooped once Ritter was gone. That was it. And Pete Holmes is going to be like, I'm the weird 6'5 version. Those are the two pouncing on the Ritter trade, right? Yeah. Huge, those vultures. They just get swept right in. No, man. Ritter was great. We loved him. I watched so many Three's Company. Those things were ubiquitous on TV 15 years after it aired. Fox showed Three's Company reruns
for
ages
totally.
With Mama's Family.
And you know what's funny? I love John Ritter. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of Three's Company. Like, I didn't watch it. But I still
You're like a Seven
him.
Rules kind of guy.
He was just always one of those guys that showed up in everything. He
Let me
would
tell you.
Show up on any show or he was like just around. Like he was I don't know.
We loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in just, a lot of things. Exactly. And it was really cool how he could fall over a couch.
Totally.
There always needs to be a space for like an affable, charming guy that can fall over things. I mean, I think that's what our big appeal is to Ryan Gosling.
That's right? Sure.
Gosling does a lot of similar Ritter stuff.
I'm excited to see his Fall Guy movie. It's just going to be him doing that for
just Gosling
2 hours.
Doing bits.
Yeah.
John Ritter making faces and doing bits is great.
Yeah.
John Ritter making noises or screaming a lot. Falling back in a chair. That's great. There's no like John. There's no like Jack level bumps. There's a Three's Company I saw where he's on a ladder. Like a second story, just a full backwards fall. Chevy Chase was just going out there and falling down like an idiot.
It's like if Buster Keaton was expressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We miss John Ritter's dictator. No, that was Chaplin. Right. We miss the general. we would have gotten all the drama, John Ritter, and of all the comedy, Ritter. This is just him as a movie star. This is him getting like his own Jim Carrey movie before Jim Carrey movies. And when we talk about Hyams working with actors, we had this revelation last episode, you know, of all the dozen Hyams movies we've done in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
That he's like his own director of photography.
Mm-hmm.
That he is making his movies look the way his movies look. He and himself alone. And now we've gone from train stuff in narrow margin, incredible visual effect space stuff, space drama in 2010.
Yeah.
And now just
jaw-dropping.
Jaw-dropping, like, visual effects.
Yeah.
And now just a madcap Looney Tunes live-action cartoon. Like, this guy has just a vision for these things. These are all the kind of B-movies that John Carpenter, I keep comparing them, because it's like John Carpenter goes out and finds a way to make these cool B-movies into his own thing.
Right.
Except Hyams is doing these weird upscale, like, nobody expected all this from Hyams. These are such different directions between every movie.
We certainly don't expect it. We keep getting surprised by the directions he takes.
This was the movie he did between Narrow Margin and Time Cop.
Total, yeah.
Any director, that would look so weird. 1, 2, 3. Any director, that's a weird 3, right? That is just his early 90s.
That's a unique 3, yeah.
That is incredible. You throw in The Relic right after that? What?
Mm-hmm.
the Presidio before that? No matter how much you bookend out Hyams, none of the movies make sense
together.
It's
weirder and
weirder. After he did 2 Jupiter movies, and he's like, never going to let that happen again. Never going to do it. This guy is just making the movies I want to watch. Stay Tuned is 90 minutes of insanity. And let me say, the jokes hold up. This is a parody. This was a parody we got for a long time.
Yeah.
The like, which is like basically a dad joke movie about like, we have 100 channels and there's nothing to watch.
It's the classic cable comedy.
We got so many cable comedies.
Yeah.
We were getting cable comedies dating back to Terrorvision.
I was going to say, yeah, I was trying to think of the movies about TV like this.
We
just did Late Night with the Devil and then we were doing this movie. Yeah. And I was like, what other Because then we did another 90s movie about TV.
We talked about TV a lot.
Yeah.
On TV and in the movies. We loved TV a lot. There was a magazine that we subscribed to called The Television Guide.
Got it every week.
We loved it.
Yeah.
And we loved people making movies about cable TV and just talking about cable TV. I was jealous of nothing more in my life than all my friends who had cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. When I went to visit my grandparents, I just watched cable. We loved cable. I thirsted for cable TV in 1992.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch Ren and Stimpy. I wanted to watch my MTV.
It was good, let me tell you.
I know.
Even just the basic cable was like so nice.
Revolutionary, right? Bruce Springsteen wrote one of his worst songs about cable television. That's how much we loved it. You pick the worst era of Bruce Springsteen. So I'm thinking right now, 1992, and it's Bruce. He has a song, I swear to God. It sounds like the fakest Springsteen song, called 57 Channels, parentheses, and nothing on.
Nothing on.
And you can just picture Bruce just like in like a little like tight black jeans, just like 57 channels. Like,
I think that's literally it. He's just like, yeah,
it's like Bruce making just like, people want to hear about cable TV in this supermarket.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. We were all, shows were making shows about cable TV. We love nothing more to make jokes about non-existent channels on cable TV. We loved it. And I love this movie celebrating the idea of Rick and Morty still does this shit. And people like a few years ago thought that was great.
Yeah, this is so right up the alley of the Family Guy, Rick and Morty reference comedy, where every show is a parody of some other show.
Yeah.
And it's...
Every joke is a reference to another joke.
It's the great lazy parody, too.
Oh, man. I think...
Saturday Night Dead? Come on.
I think the biggest...
How many minutes did they spend coming up with all of these TV shows?
I disagree, because let me tell you how shocked I was by the David Dukes of Hazzard.
That was a good one. That one I liked.
Let me tell you, I had to pause. I laughed so hard at different strokes that had two old men having two different kinds of strokes on their couch.
Yeah, some of those were pretty
good. That's funny. I've lost the feeling in my arm. Different strokes. Nope. Sorry. All of these are funny. this is a funny movie, and I don't think I expected it to be. Like, I thought it was one of those movies, like, I liked this when I was 11.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how much of the jokes I liked. I was shocked at just how funny it was. I thought this was just a perfectly 1992 movie. When Bruce Springsteen released his album, Human Touch.
Mm-hmm. No, this is honestly, this would be an interesting social experiment kind of movie. Like, show this to a 15-year-old.
Oh, man.
And who's not going to maybe know, but maybe two or three of these references.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. I would be so curious because, yeah, I got a tickle out of everything. Three Men and Rosemary's Baby.
That's good.
I love that.
That's really funny.
Would a kid know why that's funny today? I don't think so. I don't think they know what Three Men and a Baby is or Rosemary's Baby.
You gotta hope. Do they?
Gotta know.
Is but does it turn into a? If it's good enough, it turns into like we had with Looney Tunes that were making jokes about Peter Lorre.
Okay.
Let me tell you how little I knew about Peter Lorre when I was a child. But after a while, you start seeing a guy. You're wondering, like, who's this guy that they keep sticking it to? He must work there.
Yeah.
And
you know he's a guy.
So, for me, the great thing about these parodies, some of them were fresh. Fresh, hot off the presses. There was a Northern Exposure parody.
Yep.
I didn't realize a Northern Exposure parody made it into, like, a real movie that did badly at the box office. But movies
1992. Yeah, just like right there.
Really bad versions of this movie got really popular at some point in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
There was stuff like Disaster Movie, an epic movie that was like a series of different sketches. And this one tied together a series of sketches really, really well, I thought. This movie felt so prescient, whether you liked what came after or not. But yeah, Family Guy is a hugely successful show. Rick and Morty was a hugely successful show. And it seems like they all just cribbed from a P.G. Hyams comedy.
Well, and also...
that they all probably saw the box at the video store every time they went.
It feels like this movie is like the prototype of the multiverse. Like, this is the Doctor Strange going through the multiverse kind
big
of
time.
A movie. That is now every movie, it seems like.
And nobody wanted to pay money to see it in the theater. This was an expensive movie. This was a movie filled with effects and constantly changing sets.
Yeah. A lot of sets.
Requiring tons of different extras.
A lot of big scenes, too. The big execution scenes and wrestling scenes. And...
yeah. All with different costuming.
Yeah.
This was a... I keep talking, you keep talking about... Hyams doesn't have to go this hard. He keeps going so much harder than the material requires.
Five wolves. You could just use one wolf,
yeah.
Pete. We don't need to see the whole pack attack Eugene Levy.
It's crazy how hard Peter Hyams goes. It's not necessary. Do you know how into Hyams movies if he didn't use a real train in Narrow Margin? I would still love Narrow Margin. I'd love it more than I know, but if I didn't know, I'd love it the same.
Yeah.
I loved it. That space stuff, and he made 2010 so interesting. Did you think you would ever see Billy Crystal in shorts, as short as you saw in Running Scared?
Definitely did not have to go that hard.
Did you know how short Crystal's shorts could get?
Yeah.
I didn't. And Hyams was like, we can take it up.
Bring him up a little more.
We can
more.
Bring that in. We can eliminate the inseam. These are inseamless shorts on him. He just keeps going... way harder than I expected. And Stay Tuned didn't need to have this many parodies.
That's true.
This had a lot of parodies. I thought a lot of the jokes stuck. I should have looked up a list of the actual joke writers on this movie. This feels like a movie that they would have known to hire a bunch of funny comics,
mm-hmm.
to ghostwrite a bunch of one-note gags. Maybe this is all Valanche.
Maybe, I
is
don't
this
know.
Valanche? I don't know.
It seems
I
like
did not look at any of that.
Valanche
up.
Levels. These of comedy.
Let me tell you, the sadistic hidden videos clip.
Oh, yeah.
Of a policeman telling a woman that her husband's dead is so mean.
I'm pretty sure that's a verbatim Family Guy ripoff joke.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that joke has been done specifically since.
The way that woman said, did something happen to my Steven? It's like in a PG kids movie. This is
well,
so
yeah,
dark.
There's a yeah, the and that's pretty early, like when they get the new TV that they sign, you know, their souls to the devil to get. Like that's like the second thing he watches. And it's like him just watching this woman have a breakdown. and like whimpering because she's
feels
in
like
grief.
Not that far from becoming the video from The Ring.
It's like, what the
It was dark. And then two channels later is Northern overexposure. That was a last minute one, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That one was
Northern overexposure. Oh. But yeah. This movie is so dark in spots. And we got a lot of these darker and more intense than you expected family movies all during that era. They were all so loud and aggressive and just screaming kids and parents who like hated each other and were just barely hanging on.
Barely. Yeah. This about, is no different. That is about, exactly what this is.
How about Pam Dauber?
Yeah.
How great was Pam Dauber in this, huh? I haven't seen much feature film Pam Dauber.
Her career is so strange. I feel like this is like the number two thing on her IMDb.
I mean, Mork and Mindy is pretty...
Well, yeah, Mork and Mindy...
It's pretty big.
But yeah, to be the star of Mork and Mindy alongside now famous movie star Robin Williams, and you're not in like half the Robin Williams movies?
She had a family. It's a tough problem. She's married to Mark Harmon, Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
You marry Mark Harmon. You want Dauber and
You got Dauber and Harmon?
You want Harmon and Dauber to be having some kids, right?
Good-looking family there.
Yeah. I mean, it's Mark Harmon, right? Yeah. But, oh, my God.
I just mean to say that I expect her to be in more things I know.
She's so likable. She's so cute. She's such a great presence. I think she did a lot of TV work.
Yeah.
A lot of appearances in TV movies. A lot of that stuff. But she had so many great... It's got to be tough to play off Robin Williams and then like John Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they're bringing her into these projects, right? She's got to be good at it. And just
go toe-to-toe with Ritter.
Yeah. The whole concept of a marriage falling apart because John Ritter's like a TV addict. I love this premise. I wouldn't have even need like the devil aspect. If John Ritter just was way into cable television and his marriage fell apart.
He could have just had a dream about going into the TV. We didn't have to actually do devil stuff.
Didn't have to go that hard.
Hyams
is like, we're doing devil shit.
What I love is when you watch a movie from this era, and he's a TV addict, and he's watching like a 27-inch box. That's
The devil
is bad. The sound is bad. And people were addicted. You go like, you were addicted to this?
Yeah, man.
You can barely see what's going on. You can get three channels.
Our TV weighed like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
It was on this big, like, square swivel. It was like this huge rectangular brown box. And the TV screen was like...
Ugly.
Oh, man. It was so good. I wish I still had that TV.
And then when they get the new upgraded TV, it's still... It's so funny to see the 4x3. Like, I just...
Oh, man.
It's
the
like
devil's
the
making him a pitch for a
44-inch
TV, right?
Yeah.
We had no idea.
Gigantic.
We had no idea, A, how good cable television was compared to, like, what it would become, right? Wasn't littered with infomercials. They would just play old episodes of TV and show tons of old movies.
Yeah.
Like that's now it's
But
all
also
just...
the infomercials were good.
Maybe. I have no memory.
Oh, I was one of those kids watching the guy waxing half a car.
I don't know. Those
being
infomercials
like, that's pretty good.
Those infomercials peaked in like AM Gold and that one for the Magic Bullet.
The Magic
Bullet. Everybody played
a
made
classic.
Juice.
Dinner's always a production.
So I think like 05, 06 era was the real peak.
Yeah.
The Magic Bullet post-orgy breakfast half hour. We're never going to get those days back.
No.
God.
It's a shame.
And any half hour length music one where they get like the least popular monkey to talk about like a collection of hits.
Yeah.
I will watch all of that. You get a member of Mike and the Mechanics to talk about his favorite
them.
80s songs. I'm watching 30 minutes of that.
I remember being a kid watching that stuff where the guy's just whacking the car with a hammer and then being like, it doesn't dent. It doesn't scratch.
They hooked me easy.
Like, what do I care?
I watched whenever I got the chance to watch cable television, being a have-not, where my options were like whatever our antenna picked up, which was like 7 channels. We had like 3 PBS stations.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot of PBS growing up, which had its advantages, but like 9-year-olds shouldn't be watching that much Are You Being Served? There's only so many of these British comedies
much.
They should be watching, right? And But man, this whole movie, Stay Tuned, just put me in a, such a specific place. Even the opening credits just felt like something that I should have been watching at the Cottingtown cinemas.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Those swooping in. It just felt like those big old screens at Cottingtown. I would have been 11. Man, like, just feeling
that was
it.
Like Haim's doing his, like, Superman opening credits.
It
was full on
Haim
Superman
should
the
have
movie
directed
opening credits.
Did he do a superhero movie? I gotta see that.
Ooh, I don't know.
God, he should have done one of them Superman ones. What he could have done for canon.
yeah, really.
Had that great opening sequence that felt like it should have been 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, John Ritter as a couch potato TV addict, neglecting his hot wife because he's got... Yep. And what I appreciate about his TV addiction is that he's also somehow soaking all this up, knows all the lines to every random sword flick movie that's being played in black and white. He's also really deeply into a basketball game that's not between either of the two teams that he's wearing on his hat.
He's like watching
really heavily invested into a Celtics game with a beautiful emerald green Sonics cap.
Super Sonics, baby.
Oh, what
that's
a cap.
How you know it takes place in Seattle.
Yeah.
Only a guy in Seattle would wear that hat. But
oh man, the gold,
no,
it's that handwritten print, like Burt Gummer's Atlanta Hawks hat in Tremors, his brown corduroy one. Loving this green Sonics cap. Also love the couch potato that isn't a disgusting human.
Yeah, right?
This
just
is like,
seemed like a normal
this
guy.
This was like a John Candy project.
Jeans and a sweatshirt.
Instead they just give to handsome boyish looks Ritter over here.
Yeah.
But I love it. We loved our couch potatoes so much. I remember this. I hated this. Went to the Sonoma County Fair. Remember the exhibit hall?
Mm-hmm.
The guys, they could have guys doing those like huckster pitches and other just like convention booth stuff.
Oh, they still have those guys.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy that was like the human couch potato. And it was just a dude in, like, dressed in like a weird potato suit watching TV on a couch. Like, eating snacks.
Didn't they do that commercial at the Super Bowl this
year? Yeah,
they're
still doing that joke.
The couch potato is still a thing.
This guy was, like...
That's crazy.
...posted up right by the door. And I don't know if it was some statement on, like, look at what TV's doing to us. I don't know what it's... It wasn't selling anything, but it bothered me because of that. Why is this guy here?
But it was a real guy.
It was a guy.
It
was a real guy.
It wasn't like a mannequin. Yeah.
Yeah, but you had to, like, look at him.
they forced
you to look at this guy.
Look at the potato.
And I don't remember what the year's theme was, but it wasn't like TV rots your brain.
Right.
But it was like
he wasn't like crying while he was watching.
No, but he didn't. It felt like I didn't like. It was one of those moments because I was young. I was probably like single digit in age. Like I was there with my grandma, and it was just one of those moments where you kind of like you don't know the word, but you kind of understand dignity. All of a sudden, because he didn't look like he was, like, smirking like he's the cool guy eating Go-Gurt.
Right.
It was like he was there eating potato chips just, like, while people were walking by
he's just
5 feet away from him.
Somehow got a gig for sitting on a chair
you
for
come
8 hours.
Like, you don't even see it. You come like around the corner and he was, like, right there. This guy's booking a fair gig and, like, little kids are having to look at him. He's sitting on the couch, so he's right at kid eye level. It was the worst.
How did I miss this couch potato?
I'm a little bit older than you. They probably got so many complaints that year that they were never bringing back the couch potato.
Turns out that was just a guy. They had to shoo him off about an hour after you saw him.
I bet every cartoon we watched when we were kids had one episode that was like a stuck in the TV going through different channels plot.
Sure.
This is like a TV cartoon staple.
That seems like, yeah, exactly.
But to do it live action... is ambitious to do it live action and do it well. It's like so many different set pieces. Imagine if The Running Man had like 8 different sets.
Yeah,
these things by the end they're just like just make it like a dark factory.
Exactly. Yeah.
throw in some like old tires by the edge of the screen. Right.
I remember watching The Running Man going like, this is the arena, huh? Like a fence. Just kind
it's
of
like
fenced them in.
Fence with like a hole ripped in it. It's like,
No, this is good. This has got some, it's got some really fun special effects. People getting sucked into antennas. And I really remember that visual of them getting sucked backwards into the TV and stuff.
They were using like kind of expensive fun special
stuff.
Effects for the era.
Yeah.
Which was surprising. They spent a lot of money on this. I think it was like a $25 million movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is huge amounts of money to green light. That's how much they believed in the power of, like, isn't cable TV funny?
Right.
Like, the idea of Crazy Tales, UHF was out, like, 4 years before this, and that didn't do good at the box office either. Well at all.
No.
They're like, maybe if we don't open this one up against the new Batman. But then this one probably opened against, like, Batman Returns. It was
probably Batman Returns. Yeah.
They just can't figure out where to get a light. But, like, I love UHF. I've probably watched UHF a dozen times in my life. Maybe more. I watch that a lot. I love Al. And this is another one. Just like, it felt like during those years, we were just getting these movies. And I was loving all of them. We were getting movies about Little League baseball players becoming big celebrities, and we were getting movies about cool things happening to cable television.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Everything I wanted constantly.
Kids taking on adult roles and adults acting like kids. That was basically our comedies.
Everybody making television and movies during the era of my childhood was knowing exactly what I wanted. They knew, they understood the consumer then.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how much I wanted Stay Tuned. For a movie I haven't watched in 30 years. You talk about Pan Dauber needing to work more. It is crazy how little we've seen Jeffrey Jones in the last 20 years.
Here he goes.
It's great to see a Jeffrey Jones showcase because I used to know him more from, like, when I was a kid in chat rooms. I wasn't familiar with Jeffrey Jones, actor.
Yeah, I knew we were going to eventually have to do a Jeffrey Jones movie.
He's such a cool actor that we knew he's going to show up and stuff,
we get one where he's the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, is he ever, like, the good guy?
the weirdo no one likes.
Jeffrey Jones is always, like, the ass.
Yep.
And he did it good, man. He's a big ass. It's a shame that, you know, whatever. Whatever happened to his career the last 20 years,
sex
other
offender.
Than Walter Hill, baby.
Yeah.
Walter Hill's bringing him back. For the fans of Deadwood would complain.
Yeah,
we
gotta
bring back
authentic.
Jeffrey Jones, right? New Beetlejuice show?
That's what I heard.
Probably not
bringing
him back.
I heard Timothy Oliphant was like, I'm only doing it if you bring Jeff back.
You bringing Jeff. You gotta bring Jeffrey. Somebody lobbied for Jeffrey Jones.
I hate when people I loved turn out to be,
he's good.
Sex offenders.
He's, like, tough quintessential stuff. To this era.
Yeah, he's in everything
he
that I love
in
this
so
era.
Much, right?
Absolutely.
And he's great in all that stuff. He is great in this movie. Jeffrey Jones as the devil, this is a perfect role for him.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect casting.
It's very, you know,
I'm pretty
funny,
sure he's in Mom and Dad Save the World.
I think he's the star, I think he's the dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. He was all, him and Richard Mazur. Richard Mazur, no sex crimes.
That we know of.
He's like 78. What is gonna come out about this man?
I was gonna say, the angle of the devil likes TV, and so they have to program TV for him to get the souls. It's basically The Good Place. This is a form of, like, so many things have come since this movie that have basically taken these
ideas.
This
is such a great idea.
Yeah.
Devil's minions that are basically functioning TV executives that are just pitching nonstop ideas to the devil. That's a J.J. Abrams-ass idea right there, right? That is a movie that's like a Cabin in the Woods kind of deal, right?
I was absolutely
smash
thinking
hit of
Cabin
the
in
decade,
the
Cabin of the Woods. Yeah. This is a Stay Tuned ideal. One thing we always talk, both of us, about Peter Hyams going hard. It's crazy we don't see the devil. I wanted to see what Peter Hyams the devil is like.
That would have been a great, like, post-credit scene of just, like, the hand of the devil, like, turning off.
Yeah,
the
give
remote.
Me an Inspector Gadget, Dr. Claw kind of arm.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be a full devil. Like, show me what your idea of, like, devil is. What's his office like?
But, you know, it's great. They kind of, they keep referring to him. And then they, at some point, they're like, it'll knock him off his hooves.
Yeah.
It's like good devil jokes throughout. Yeah.
Yeah, this movie has, like, 1978 Buck Henry kind of humor. But, like, I like that kind of stuff.
Also, it's got we've seen Eugene Levy in two 90s movies now. I don't know how this guy worked into the 2000s.
It's insane Eugene Levy survived.
I can't believe it. He's so unfucking funny in this movie. It's crazy. The slick cigar smoking exec who's like,
it's nothing but like, bad gags.
You're only gonna get ahead if you know where to kiss it. And these lips are chapped. just the worst shit. I love him. I absolutely love him. I think he's so great.
How'd he make it?
Holy shit. Having just watched Wagons, or no, Almost Heroes.
Yeah.
A couple months ago, right? And now this, it's just like, holy. They were not doing him any favors in the 90s.
How'd he make it? How did he, like, imagine what, like, what a satiating drink American Pie was for him.
Exactly.
Like,
you know, right?
Finally.
From there on,
like,
I've landed.
Got
it. Yeah.
I got American Pie, and it was done. Oh,
so funny in America. He's probably the funniest part of that movie.
He's incredible. I think that's. I
had
no
on,
idea.
Had
I had
it.
No memory of Eugene Levy as a guy until American Pie. I didn't know him as a man. Even though I was watching all of these movies, he's just like the consistently worst part of all of them. How'd he make it to Schitt's Creek? How'd he get there?
He's so perfect on it. We've talked about this kind
of
role before, but he's the guy in this movie who won't stop making jokes that nobody laughs at.
Yeah.
So you just watch a guy bomb in front of other people.
And every joke in this movie hits, except his jokes. And he keeps, like, kind of, you think he's dead, and then he keeps coming back. To just stink it up even more. Is that the brilliance of it? Getting to be in a, just like, that has to be a choice at a certain
point.
Well,
yeah, because, yeah, he's kind of becomes an ally, but every time you see him, it's like, ah, this guy again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the vibes you're getting. John Ritter and Pandora, just, Jesus.
He gets torn apart by wolves, comes back later, like, you know, half his limbs are missing, and he does, like, I'd give my arm and a leg for that.
He's hopping around through this movie.
I did.
Oh, in fact, I did. God. I love this plot. I love the idea of a wife who's leaving her husband because of his TV addiction. I love addiction movies. We don't get a good TV addict movie. I want the full TV addict movie. I want like a Michael Keaton clean and sober movie, but about a TV addict.
TV, yeah.
John Ritter, I really want to see his depraved TV addict. Like desperate for any kind of TV.
That'll be the next Brendan Fraser, like after The Whale. It's like now he's
just like another
fat
pack
suit.
It back on, Brendan.
This time, put a TV in front of it. Same movie. God.
Our whale episode's going to suck.
He probably watches TV the whole movie.
Oh, man.
The whale's
probably got so many
TV scenes.
I'm showing my ass here. Oh, God. I'm going to hate our whale episode. Never going to recommend it. But yeah, man. Once Jeffrey Jones comes on the scene, practically tap dancing his way into the door as like a devil TV salesman, man. Jeffrey Jones owns this intro scene so hard. When, for some reason, John Ritter has like, they really get this plot early on that he's a fencer.
Yeah.
You have John Ritter just pulling a fencing, needle, whatever those are.
Yeah, sure. Tiny sword.
Then the devil asks him, like, oh, are you used to fencing? I used to. It's like, wonder if that's going to come back in 85. This guy with just fencing swords displayed over his otherwise. I love a good 90s messy house.
Oh, yeah.
I love a messy house
classic.
In a movie.
This has got all of it. It's got the little brother, the older sister who hate
great
each
older
other.
Sister. The older
nerdy
sister, the teenage girl, she sounds like exactly like Joan Cusack or Holly Hunter. So this 14-year-old girl doing Holly Hunter through a whole movie. It was great. Great older, younger science brother.
Yeah. He looked a lot like a really young Matt Damon, like with glasses.
this was early Damon.
Yeah.
Early Damon is the science kid.
And then just like the older sister's name is Diane. So it's just this kid the whole time going, Diane!
No, it's the little brother in these movies is always the ones that knows the shit, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like,
he figures
he's got to convince everybody else.
Yeah.
How many things do we see with that?
Because, yeah, I was actually, as soon as we started this movie and it's the son doing the narration, I was like, gosh, man.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be about the kids. I forgot that it was like the whole thing with the kids.
Ritter and Pom and Pam Dauber are so good. You just want you don't need them to come back to saving their parents.
The kids watching the TV, but they it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
They do okay.
Yeah, I do agree that we could have gotten like more channels. We could have gotten more of Dwayne's Underworld. It's weird that they were able to so lengthily parody Wayne and Garth.
I thought that was maybe the best parody. Like, those guys doing the Wayne and Garth were...
The guy doing Garth hit every movement.
Yeah.
He was moving his arms and head exactly like Garth. I've never seen a guy do a good... Like, impersonating Dana Carvey isn't easy. This guy mimics right? all sorts of other things. Yeah. I looked that dude up thinking this guy... No, he's like in barely anything else.
Hmm.
I don't know how they got... Their movements were exact. That swing... You kidding me?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
Exact.
And in the great corpse makeup. Like that.
Yeah,
the whole audience
decaying makeup. Great bit. I'm telling you, I don't know how many bits I didn't like. Some are only there as a gag, like Meet the Mansons, where there's not really a joke to it. But all the ones that rely on actual jokes, they're funny. Not just like any kind of funny. They're like Kentucky Fried movie funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're getting into rarefied air here. This is some Kentucky Fried movie for PG audiences. So way less tits.
Are we going to do our top 10 scenarios?
Oh, no. our top 10 of what?
Our top 10 joke shows on here.
Dude, I think Different Strokes is pretty funny.
That one got a guffaw out of me for sure.
That's a funny joke. And I think it's notable that they end on David Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
That's the closing shot. But man, some of them, I mean, there's a lot of good ones, man. I thought they were all really funny.
Oh, you know what's funny? Yeah, some of them
driving over Miss Daisy.
That's the one I was just going to say. Like, some of them are so violent, though, and bad.
Yeah,
it's like,
man.
Imagine taking your 8-year-old to a John Ritter comedy, and it's driving over Miss Daisy, and it's just a guy running over an old woman over and over
Jeffrey
again with his car.
Hits that woman. That woman takes it. How great of a gag. This is the main thing I remember from this, because this was like in all the trailers for it. I wish there was more Three's Company channel.
Man, that sucks that it was in the trailers and ads, though, because that is such a perfect Easter egg, special gift to give you 80 minutes into this movie of him just,
suddenly zooming out and Ritter's in the Hawaiian shirt and the white slacks. And a fake Janet and Chrissy are in the room.
Looks right at the camera, gives the bloodiest scream of the whole movie. It is an amazing scream.
Perfect.
He's a scream king. Absolutely. Ritter is a scream king.
There's two great screams in this movie. There's a scream early on that I thought was such a great laugh when Pam Dauber does this close-up horror movie scream. After the movie already establishes that something bad happened to, like, the Rosenbaums
mm-hmm.
or whatever down the street. Blood-curdling scream as Murray Seidelbaum something terrible happened. When we open on Pam Dauber doing, a horrified scream, and it cuts back to her, like, viewing his new television, that's great.
That's a good
one. She was so good in that. But, yeah, Ritter's screams when he's in the old Three's Company apartment. I needed to have a couch gag. If he fell over that couch and then screamed at the camera, this is like 8 stars.
Yeah.
This was my number one movie of 92. Move over, Unforgiven.
It's really funny.
Stay tuned, it's coming in. Also, I swear, I don't know what version I saw. I swear to God, I remember it being a close-up on the women.
Because
it made it clear that it was not Janet and, it wasn't Suzanne Summers or anything.
Yeah.
The movie I watched on Amazon was like them way in the blurred out in the background, just wearing the classic Janet shorts.
Yeah.
Classic outfits. The best, hottest outfits ever on television. They had them just walking around like
now,
that.
Now, it's funny. I had said earlier I'd never watched a minute of it. I knew those outfits as soon as they came walking in.
What were they getting away
with? So maybe I have seen some.
What were they getting away with?
I know, yeah. There's just something
about... What were you wearing to the Regal Beagle?
Obviously, watching enough TV, I must have come across it. But
you're soaking this up through osmosis, right?
Yeah, that's what I think I was thinking with Ritter earlier. It's just like, I don't even know why. I just know I feel like this guy was just always on my TV.
What about Murder, She Likes?
Murder, She Likes. The Golden Ghouls.
Oh, the Golden
Those ones
ghouls.
At the end, they were just starting to like rattle off their... Okay, but honestly, unmarried with children, not a joke. I don't understand that. I don't get that joke.
That's just talking that's just about unwed pregnancies.
Yeah, that's just a single mom. I don't understand why that's funny. The Fresh Prince of Darkness was good,
Fresh
too.
Fresh Prince of Darkness?
That was good.
Oh, man.
We'll just name them all now. Yeah.
I like The Exorcist.
Yeah. Anytime you can get
the head spins
joke,
with the time appropriate aerobics. It's not really, it wasn't a commercial gag, but oh, how good was both. So if you haven't told, John Ritter and Pam Dauber going through a bunch of, they have like a whole game show aspect where the devil's giving them 24 hours
you get
to
24
survive
hours.
Cable, this like hell's cable TV.
I love
how
that.
How cool is that? How did they not show the devil? How did he not show the devil like eating snacks? The devil's a couch potato. How did we not show the devil's right. like snack selection?
The devil's couch.
We
I
need
want to
the
make that
like
movie.
The devil's ass groove, right?
Yeah, exactly. We
need to see the devil's setup for Cable because it would have been really funny if he was watching on like an old shitty TV.
Exactly.
Just like Ritter.
It would have had to. That, well, yeah.
There's so many funny Satan jokes to make, and they weren't leaning about any other Satan stuff. They said Satan a lot. Is there something about showing the devil? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know why we didn't see the devil.
It was one of those two where it's like everything's got the 666 on it, you know, the train or the car.
I'm pretty sure there was a Beverly Hills like 90666.
Yep. So that joke got passed around a little bit. But yeah.
What about 30 something to life?
Yeah,
that's
not bad.
Funny.
Not bad.
That's funny. Oh,
again, man. But no one would get that today. Like, no person born in this 30 century.
30-something doesn't have the same impact to every generation of 30-year-olds?
I don't think so. Golden Ghouls, I think, holds up.
Do the kids
30
still...
30-something to life, I don't think, holds up.
Is What about Timothy Busfield? Do kids know?
I don't know about that one.
Peter Berg?
Yogi Bear? No one knows who Yogi Berra is.
Or Yogi Bear. None of the Yogis are guys that the kids know now? Yeah, maybe. Saturday Night Dead, I guess. My Three Sons of Bitches.
That's just
that's ribald.
That's just good to say.
That's like how they just said the word pussy out of nowhere in this movie. What were they doing? Well, I think the word pussy said in Problem Child too.
Yeah.
Was it in John Ritter's writer?
Maybe. I need one, at least one.
Like you know, Forster has to say something about his hair, and Judd Ritter's going to be like, I need to say pussy. Break it out of this old PG Ritter phase.
Exactly.
But film noir Ritter, Private Dick.
That's good.
You know, that's good. How good did Spaghetti Western Ritter look?
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a natural for the Spaghetti Western with the stubble and the hang 'em high hat, poncho.
He had the full Eastwood outlook.
We get a full Salt and Pepper music video.
That I did not remember.
I did not remember a Salt and Pepper exclusive in this movie. And it's long. And it is the...
It is the longest segment of the movie.
And let me tell you, Salt and Pepper are a colossal act. And they were huge right in that
Oh, absolutely.
That time. That is like
never
right around... But the next summer, when like What a Man and Shoop came out, biggest act on the planet. Salt and Pepper were huge, right? So to get him in a movie, and they did stuff. They rapped at WrestleMania.
Sure.
They were a big, major act. I don't know if there's a bigger female hip-hop group than them, right? Huge.
Not at that moment,
so getting
yeah.
Salt and Pepper in your movie, that's big. And then they are just stuck with a dog of a song. What a non-jam.
Yeah, I watched this last night, could not tell you what, like, could not hum a bar.
No
that
groove,
song.
Nothing catching in that song. You have Salt, Sandy Dennis.
And Pepper.
At her peaks. Early 90s Salt and Pepper. Oh my God. Spinderella. The Spinderella gag is the only thing salvageable in that set.
Where Jeffrey Jones is Spinderella?
No, Jeffrey Jones as DJ is not the best. Not his best moment of the movie. Any implication that Jeffrey Jones is DJing a teenage birthday party, already terrible. Already terrible. And, oh man, he had some classic, like, dad kind of spin in the turntables movements, right? wearing sunglasses and like a backwards hat, just looking like a narc. No, it's a dumb gag, but Spinderella, DJ Spinderella,
mm-hmm.
is so good in this one gag when one of the dancers accidentally mutes the television screen.
Oh, like yeah.
Gremlins 2-esque third wall thing. The look of you fucking idiot that she gives this guy before taking away the remote. She did not have to just scorch this dancer mm-hmm. with this look. The just disappointment and disgust she was able to like roll her eyes with when she shows him how to work this thing. The only good thing about this thing. Nice. What a dud of a song.
It's a tough one.
Have you heard Shoop? Go listen to how good Shoop is. We know they had killer cuts.
Uh-huh.
That album sold like 8 million copies for good reason. You know how many times MTV showed that Salt-N-Pepa en Vogue video? What a man was burned vision into my grandparents' television screen right. because of that.
Yeah.
That summer. So yes, this movie took some different turns. But I didn't think we would also get a full-length Chuck Jones Tom and Jerry cartoon in the middle.
That's beautiful.
That's a great cartoon.
Oh yeah, that's a great bit.
Them as cartoon mice being chased by a killer mouse-killing animatronic Terminator cat. That's a great bit. And it is lengthy. It's like 7 or 8 minutes long. It's a full commercial break cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's that, it's one of those things where you know it on site. Like, this is clearly, they paid for Chuck Jones to do this.
Yeah.
The parody was too good that it wasn't parody. It was just, we're getting the guy to do a parody of his own work.
Yeah.
And that is awesome.
I think there needs to be more movies with animated sequences like that. Just drop them in the middle.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Or, you know, I accept opening credits.
Sure.
Give me a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style opening credits. Just something zooming around through the big approaching letters of somebody's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring that. This is that vibe. Stay Tuned has that vibe the whole movie.
It does.
This is good.
It's like almost verging on like Roger Rabbit kind of stuff. Like it's so out there.
Totally.
So wacky that you got to get on board for it to be a
You talk about ridiculous. Unexpectedly intense. You want to talk Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
I get taken to that movie when I'm 8 years old. Oh my God. Yeah. I had no idea what Nazis were, but it's like, this is it. This is it, right?
That's about right, yeah.
Oh my God. These movies were so intense and perfect. I would not have wanted to grow up watching any other movies. It was the perfect era for somebody as soft as me.
Yeah, right.
But Stay Tuned. I couldn't believe how well it held up. At this rate, I don't know what it's going to take for Hyams to just pull a flat-out dud. There's got to be one.
I think the ones we have left are all pretty strong contenders, I think. Yeah. I think we're going to be okay here.
Nothing but home runs, right?
Yeah.
What, am I going to come back and am I not going to like Time Cop now?
No, you're going to like Time Cop.
No, that's stupid.
You're going to like Time Cop. You're going to like End of Days.
Yeah. Presidio? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mark Harmon in the Presidio? I know the Presidio. I like Mark Harmon. Obviously, I'm going to like Hyams with those two things. The guy's got nothing but hits. Knowing that there's the a TV movie with McLeod, Dennis Weaver, like I'm guaranteed going to like the Dennis Weaver TV movie that he did.
Exactly.
I like every other Dennis Weaver TV movie. This guy gets it. Mount Rushmore. I don't want to talk about anything else. I don't know what it's going to take to break me out of this.
Man, I mean, we're going to have to find something.
I don't know.
Because I can't take this anymore.
The only thing that's happened is we got to do them all. It's like once I know.
I think we should go to an older one, like Capricorn 1, something from the 70s.
His oldest one is that Dennis Weaver TV movie.
That's
we're doing all the Weaver. We're going to do Duel. Let's just do Dennis Weaver TV movies.
Okay. That's a good avenue to go down.
That's a compromise. I'm getting Dennis Weaver and Hyams.
I'll do Duel.
I'm doing it all.
I'll do Duel.
Yeah. Oh, love to talk about Steve again. What, are you going to send me down a Spielberg rabbit hole? Let me tell you, he did three times as many as Peter Hyams
did. That's right.
Now, Stay Tuned. I know for all of you that are listening to this, you're all my age. You're all Charlie's age. You all saw this exact same box. You're going to love it still. Watch this with your kids. Let them know who John Ritter was. One thing.
Let them know who Jeffrey Jones was.
Let them know about Jeffrey Jones. Tell them about Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, warn them.
One thing, this is a way out. This, I should have talked about this earlier. I want to say before it comes to this.
Yeah.
I did not know one of my favorite wrestlers, the One Man Gang, was in this movie. This has a whole wrestling sequence wrestling that I somehow hadn't talked about.
Yeah.
An entire wrestling sequence. You know John Ritter's going to take bumps. John Ritter is taking his own bumps in this, and there were a couple of bad ones. One Man Gang dressed up as a Gorgon. Great eye makeup, great big old body. He's a big, big dude.
Yeah.
But and I would have known it was him once he's one of those big guy bodies with like the tapered in butt. He doesn't have like a big old butt. Like Bam Bam Bigelow's like the same kind of egg shape all over, but One Man Gang had that just kind of like
a flat ass.
Yeah, like a trucker ass.
Yeah.
But a 400-pound man.
It's all up front.
It's like if Bull from Night Court, you know, Richard Mall just like got fat. We saw that like bull butt, you know, Bull Shannon set back there. But One Man Gang is really good. He's a really great big guy. And, so he has some big bumps, right? But he's facing Ritter. He throws Ritter off his shoulders into like the turnbuckles in the corner. That was a hard landing. That corner of the ring is hard.
Mm.
John Ritter took that. But One Man Gang got punched off the apron and did like a full belly flop from the apron. That is a crazy spot he never did in wrestling.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
just showing out.
That's
for
fun.
The Stay Tuned cast. I don't think he was in any other movie. Any other movie. John Ritter took his standing splash. He took a clothesline from One Man Gang. That's cool.
That's sick.
That whole wrestling scene. Lou Albano was there.
Captain Lou.
John Ritter and Pam Dauber in their white with gold and Pam Dauber in her ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Their outfits look great. I love the segments overall in this movie work so well because the jokes that are bad are not given full visual jokes. It's like a Sunday night at 8. Watch Meet the Mansons.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get a full Meet the Mansons set. When they know they got a good gag, the wrestling one, Spaghetti Western one, Dwayne's Underworld, they give it that time to breathe. It is somehow a really well-paced show with nothing but chaos going on.
I agree. Yeah, it's easy to follow. It's you don't really get bored except maybe the salt and pepper
that
video.
That salt and pepper thing came right at the climax
time.
Of the movie.
Yeah. It's got what I love, a movie that's got a countdown. So it's like
always.
You're doing this like 24-hour countdown and it goes from like 22 hours to like 10. They really skip ahead.
I really like
it. And so then you get the real good, like, minute-by-minute countdown at the end there.
I like when we get the big jump forward.
Yeah.
Because now you know it's like, all right, now it's real. Now
right,
it counts.
Right.
Now we're getting past it.
Think of all the shows they must have got out.
I know. How much stuff did they get through?
See.
There wasn't much going on out in that ice fishing one.
Yeah, they were there
Eugene Levy was out there at the outpost. Now, I was so happy this held up so well. I had such fond memories. This is such an old classic video store staple. You never know. Like. Now
yeah.
I know. They're always going to hit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if this one hits, I don't see a Haim's not hitting.
Yeah.
Right?
They're all.
This was the wild card.
It's in the bag now. It's maybe 2010s. I don't know what 2010s was happening.
Yeah.
At post End of Days is kind of no man's land where I haven't seen as many.
He's only got like 3 movies after End of Days.
Oh, that's clean.
And they're not rated great, but.
You know what?
We'll find out.
Neither are some of the others.
Yeah.
And they're nothing but hits.
That's
nothing
true.
Nothing but hits. Because it's a Haim's.
You gotta believe in the Haim's.
When it's got Haim's on the poster, you know. It's
you
like
a movie.
Seal of quality.
Yeah.
We're gonna be watching a movie by a guy who knows what people want to see in movies. I'm curious how this movie hits for people that were not born in 1981 to 1987.
Yeah. I think it'd be a really interesting experiment to show this to like an 18-year-old kid. And just see, not even if they like it or not, like just see, like, tell me how many times you get the reference.
I'm curious about how they feel, and I don't think the getting it matters. I think you got to learn. Mm. People got to learn sometimes.
You can enjoy
Pam Dauber.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't. None of us remember where we were the first time when, like, Jeffrey Jones emailed us. we all learn.
God.
I'm Eric.
I'm Charlie. Thank you for listening. Good night.